Blog Talk Radio.
It's raw, it's uninhibited, and yes, it's nude. Nude Radio, the live talk show for the urban 20-something. Talk radio has never been this naked.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Nude Radio, the live talk show for the urban 20-something. We're the radio arm to Nude Magazine, which is the premier online arts and progressive culture publication for the no-holds-barred, truth-seeking 20-somethings. That's just like yours truly, Tiffany Knowles, and my other culture vultures here, KP and Milka Dennis. It's the week of March 22nd, and yes, we're still honoring Women's History Month here on Nude Radio. No worries, you'll still get your dose of our arts and entertainment news, our love-to-hate segment, overheard conversations, and common-sense advice. But this week's guest is another amazing woman who's changing the world, Chanel Gabriel. In a little bit, we'll be opening up the phone lines for you fabulous people to join us in the discussion. The number here is 646-727-1706. And for you listeners on the run, there's a brand new way to hear us on your mobile devices. Just type blogtalkradio.com/nude, N-E-W-D, into your mobile web browser, and it'll take you to our mobile site. And so you can stream the show live, which is totally awesome.
And we're coming from iTunes pretty soon. iTunes, I can't wait.
Actually, I heard that one of our listeners got us on iTunes. So I don't know if it's...
Wait. How'd they get us on iTunes before I got us on iTunes?
Well,
what?
Actually, you remember that little icon on the right-hand side when you go to our show page? They clicked
yeah.
it. They clicked the iTunes icon, and they were able to get us on
well,
iTunes. So.
See, now this is why I'm upset with Apple, because the Apple didn't contact me. See.
I have no idea what happened.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
I heard it. I was like, oh, my gosh, Casey did it. So,
wow, you see my love to hate? This is a part of my love to hate right there. There you go.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
But this week, guys, we'll be talking with oh so strong and socially conscious HBO deaf poet and vocalist Chanel Gabriel. It's a nude look at dropping it like it's hot, all that and more. Before we jump right in, though, let's give our host a chance to introduce themselves.
Hello. How are you doing, folks out there? I am Kareth Powell. I'm the engineer here at Nude Radio, but you fabulous people can call me KP for short. That's what my mom calls me. I am the ultra-conservative here, but I have a little funny man on the side, so I'll try to make you laugh and not try to get too serious. And I'm not going to represent for the manliest men this week because Milka wouldn't let me... She wouldn't let me live that down.
Live that down.
Oh, no. That hat, I loved it. Hi, I'm Milka, Nudes Magazine CEO, your host with no disclaimer, queen of common sense, and major, major trash talker. Glad to be here as always.
That's right. And I'm Tiffany Knowles, the managing editor of Nude Magazine, the arts and progressive culture publication, where we're bearing all to expose truth. I'm your slightly anal type A moderator who's loved by many and tolerated by so many more. Today we just want to break you off with a bit of news on the news front. Natasha Richardson, our loved English actress.
That was pretty sad news, yeah.
Passed away this week, and we are very, very crestfallen about it because she was so fabulous. In her roles. I know one of my favorite roles is the Parent Trap Disney movie, but...
The remake.
But yeah. It was awesome, and I actually saw the originals, there are two originals, but there was one with Jodie Foster, and I just saw that this week, and I was thinking, wow, the one with Natasha Richardson was so much better. But yeah, because... Yeah, I have to say, Lindsay Lohan is a very gifted young thing. But that's it. Natasha Richardson left us, and we are very distraught about it because it was a very, very minor accident. She was on the beginner slope skiing and took a fall, but it wasn't a major fall. She got back up and... They laughed it off, and then eventually she had to be taken to the hospital after that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I think that about 90% of us would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
Because they said that, you know, it wasn't a hard fall. She didn't feel, you know, she felt fine. You know, any one of us probably would have fallen, bumped our head and said, oh, we're good. But
I know.
Yeah, it turned out to be worse than it was.
Exactly.
Yeah, it happened really quickly because it was 1 minute she was in the hospital and then, yeah. That was unexpected.
Very, very unexpected. And that's also, she's also the wife of Liam Neeson. So we do, our thoughts go out to him and the other family who she survived by. So, yeah, Natasha.
Yeah, she had two young boys. And that's kind of hard. I can't imagine something like that happening. So
exactly, and she was still very young and vibrant, and she's beautiful, beautiful woman. But yeah, that's that for current events. I do want us to jump right into Love to Hate, though, which is our pop-in segment. Each week, we hip you to a new trend or a cultural phenomenon that really grates on us, so much so that we deem it only fair to grate on you, the listener, as well. So, this week, what do you love to hate, Milka?
Okay, so last time I got a lot of flack about the men wearing socks with sandals. Well, this week I have something for the ladies. Ladies. Nightcaps, for real. Nightcaps are for nightwear. Let's try that. They're not intended to be daytime hair accessories. I mean, okay, imagine this. A parent coming for a parent conference, okay, with a nightcap on.
Wow.
It is absurd. My student
comes,
I'm dead serious. My students come to school like this, and I would ask them because I'm curious. I'm like, oh, you know, we just got our hair did, and we don't want to mess it up. And I'm like, didn't you get your hair did so you can look good in school? Like, exactly, what are you saving it for? And I thought it was just, you know, a school thing. But no, it's everywhere. It's in the supermarket. It's in retail stores. And what hurts me the most is black women.
I know.
You know, I haven't seen a white woman with it on, and I'm like, oh, my sisters, please. I remember being, you know, when I was younger, my mom would have a fit if we would even leave the house with curlers on. I mean, not to go anywhere, but just to be outside and for our neighbors to see us with curlers on.
Right.
And
because there should be a certain mystique. Yeah, there should be a certain mystique about the women and the beautification process, so to speak. And I mean, I know you wear that to keep it slick and cool. And I don't know what do you wear the headscarf to keep the wrap tight, you know? But it doesn't mean you should go out in public with it on. It's not meant for that purpose.
They should stop the madness because you know what. You know what I realized? Because, you know, I do realize, given my Haitian background, I'm a little bit more of a stickler for etiquette than most Americans.
Oh.
But, hush. But, I mean, honestly, I do, because I realize that a lot of Americans, and when I study a little bit of American culture, like, you know, they try to avidly get rid of Victorian etiquette, and they've done a pretty good job at it, because, guys don't open doors anymore.
No.
You know, on and on and on. I mean, people don't even know what knife and fork to use anymore. But this is taking it to a whole new level. And there needs to be some kind of social etiquette that we all can agree on because it's just
But hold
it's
on,
disgusting.
Though. Talking about American women, how come I see in Brooklyn, New York, on the B-54 bus, I see lots of women with their Haitian flags on their head. Like,
wait, I didn't
Haitian
say.
Flags. What's this?
I didn't say American women. I say American culture.
Ah, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Because they sure do don the Haitian flag on their head as a scarf. So,
I mean,
nice silky Haitian flag on their head. Definitely. I see.
Well, but usually when somebody's wearing a bandana and wearing a nightcap is kind of different. Because I've worn bandanas for the purpose of wearing a bandana, not to keep my hair back.
Well, no.
But,
they'll go to public events. No.
Okay. The guys out there are telling us to move on because that's just ridiculous.
Okay.
Because well, you don't care. You still holla. And these women do get hollered at. That's why they continue with this madness. Guys. Ugh.
Probably back when I was in college,
but.
Geez.
We will take
the
hint and move it on. Karis,
care about guys?
Love to hate, darling.
All right, my love to hate this week is basically the argument challenging Barack Obama's leisure activities. I think that we need to pick our battles when we're talking about, you know, Barack Obama. I mean, if us conservatives, I'm speaking of, they're getting mad that he's picking his brackets, you know, for the NCAA tournament last week on ESPN. A coach called him out and was like, I think you should be worried about the economy and stop worrying about college basketball. Give the man a break. I mean, really, you got to see what he can do. It hasn't even been 100 days. Why are they nitpicking at every little thing? He went on Jay Leno this week, which I thought was a really funny show.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was really nice. I actually really liked it.
Thank you so much for reminding me because it was so good.
Yeah, he's on the show and, he's doing his thing. And he mentions he slips up and he says,
Special
Olympics. I was going like the Special Olympics. And then, of course, out the woodwork, everybody. Oh, Barack Obama.
Wait, what was it? I don't remember that comment. What was it?
He was talking about his bowling skills. He was talking about his bowling skills, and he said something about the Special Olympics, like he was bowling. It wasn't like the Special Olympics or something like that. And everybody went crazy, and everybody forgot that there was a whole interview. It was funny because when I was sitting down with my wife and I was watching it, we were watching the whole thing. You could barely hear him say it. Now I caught it, and I was like, you know what? That's going to cause some problems right there.
And
sure enough, the very next day, they're like, oh, why is he on Jay Leno? He should be back in. Why? He should not leave the White House. He should be stuck in there working on this thing 24/7. Are you serious? Come on, man.
It just
seems like they're trying to nitpick at every little thing.
But I loved how he came out and made fun of the fact that he planned to get Malia and Sasha a dog during the election. And how they're like, so when is this dog coming into the White House? He made fun and was like,
it was a campaign promise,
and but it was so funny that he would have gone to that and made a joke about it. Because
it
lots of people are saying that. Lots of people are saying, well, he has not been living up to any of the campaign promises.
One of the funniest politicians I've ever seen on a late night talk show. I mean, granted, it is the first time ever in history that a president has been on a late-night talk show, sitting president. So he made history at that.
Okay, now, can I say something? And I know you don't watch MSNBC, KP.
Ooh.
But my man, Keith Olbermann from Countdown, put it in beautiful perspective. Just a couple of things to touch on what you said. The Duke coach... I heard the entire quote from the Duke coach's comment, and what he was saying is, instead of people griping with Obama about things like that, they should be focused on the economy, not Obama, but the people griping about the fact that Obama was complaining this bracket. So they completely took that out of context. And another thing that bothered me is the word leisure, because when you look at the itinerary for that day and all the things, the town hall meetings he covered, he saw with Governor Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
And this man was working. And, Keith made a really great comparison. And when we think about President Roosevelt and his sci-fi chat, and he said, for the first time, this is our new medium, and this is how we communicate. And so just like it was appropriate back then for Roosevelt to go in on the sci-fi attack and let people know what was going on, to set them at ease, to keep them informed, and to, you know, get in touch with the people. Why is it, it's exactly the same thing. And I thought that was a great point.
Yeah.
a great point. So, you know, I totally agree with you. I think it's a waste.
Yeah, it's a little nitpicky. I just think we should move on.
And you can always talk about Bush, of course, and how he ran back into the White House, remember, when the whole stock market thing blew up and nobody saw him. He was, you know, he was in hiding. He wasn't hiding.
That's a whole other conversation for a whole other day. We'll be here all day with that.
That's great. But, yeah, love your love to hate, KP. Now, for my love to hate, the very, very insightful Harvard University study, the porn paradox, according to a new study by Harvard University, red states are the top porn-buying states in the country. And those are the states, as you all know, with the highest concentration of politically conservative and traditionally religious people.
The Bible Belt.
For example, you have Utah, where most people embrace old-fashioned values, family marriage, is it boasts the highest porn-buying rate in the nation. So what do you have, KP? Lots of Mormons flipping through the Playboy channels.
I don't want to touch too much into their religion because I don't know too much about it, but if it's anything like that show Big Love on HBO, I don't know, man. You get to have 15 wives, 20 wives. I don't know.
a lot of Mormons have had made criticism about Big Love. A lot of HBO has been taking a lot of chances as far as sacred things within their religion and showing it on television. So, yeah, a lot of Mormons aren't too happy about Big Love. But
if there's any truth to it, then I can understand why they're tuning into so much porn. Because, I mean, if you have 7 wives to satisfy, come on.
Back up. Is he blaming all this on the Mormons?
No. I don't agree with it. No, I'm not agreeing with it. No, come on now. I'm just saying I understand why they would do it. I just don't, you know. I just don't understand why they do it.
Because if they have seven wives, I don't agree
with them having 7, you know, multiple wives and everything. But if they do, I can now see why they probably are the highest state in porn watching.
I refuse to let you pin this on the Mormons. It's not just the Mormons, okay?
It's red states, okay?
Your states, KP, is the army of all these conservative people who are in hiding. They're doing dirty, grimy things and then go in public and preach it. Yes, sir.
Wait. My states? I've never been to Louisville, Kentucky, lady. Okay.
Well, I've
never been to West Virginia. Okay, these are not my states. I mean, okay, they are conservative.
But you guys ascribe to the same ideologies.
Well, the great state of Alaska and the great state of Florida made it onto the list. So I don't know what you're talking about, KP. Florida's your state.
You're conservative. You gotta eat it, okay? And what it's saying here, what this study is saying, okay, KP, what it's saying, is that these closet perverts are closet perverts. That's it.
And they're telling me, talking
about family values and stuff, and then they up in there buying porn and stuff. I mean, seriously, keep it real. Tell them about the pastors, because that blew me away.
Tell them about the pastors.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, before I say that, my theory, of course, is that within the strictures of a household where you're encouraged to walk the straight and narrow, we see it all the time, you tend to secretly indulge in things that aren't too kosher. And we've seen that, you guys, you and I all know about church culture, and we've seen it. We know people who indulge in things that are so untoward, completely opposite. But the scary statistic that really had us, almost
sweet irony.
Was that hotel chains like Marriott, Hilton, raking the big bucks with in-room pay-per-view movies? Mm-hmm. Well, there was a survey done, and xxchurch.com, which is a ministry that helps men fight porn addiction, reported on their site that hotel porn rentals increase dramatically during ministry conventions, which means...
Milk is loving this.
The pastors and church leaders are viewing hotel porn at a higher rate than the general public.
Sweet irony.
You see, ministry conventions, you know, like the ones we've been to all of our lives, it just so happens there's a spike in pay-per-view movies, adult movies. So it's like, okay, who's watching these things?
I just feel that they're probably sheltered their entire life, and that's why, you know, eventually when they do get out there.
You're saying this with a safe voice.
Look, man.
But it's that. There are a number of factors, but another factor is that you say that you can't have something. You publicly proclaim that this thing is wrong, that you should stay away from it, but it causes you to have some sort of fantasy and fetish with it.
All these pedophile, conservative politicians,
sexual addicts trying to have sex in the bathroom, a social conservative, a Republican. I mean, it's wonderful. And everyone right there, they're anti this, they're anti gay, they're anti this, they're anti that. Oh, they hate the pedophiles, but they're one themselves. So, yes, I do rejoice in that sweet irony.
It's not. It's my love to hate. So it's not at all sweet for me.
If our listeners want to chime in, they could chime in at 646-727-1706.
Or get on the chat room.
We're going to open up the chat room so you guys can chime in on this, because obviously it's a hot topic. Again, it's 646-727-1706, and you can chime in on our chat room also and tell
us
how you feel. And I will read your statements on the air. Please keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Please do.
Sweet irony. I didn't say all this is sweet. I said sweet. It is the irony of things that I find sweet. Because, I mean, people have their struggles. And, you know, I'm going to be me. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny to me. And it's the irony that I find sweet.
Right.
Not at all.
Let me see.
Their struggles and stuff like that. That's not funny. And that's not a light subject. But it's the irony to me. That's just beautiful. People are just keeping real.
All right, let me
see if I can get one caller in. Just one. We never really do this, but 198.
You want to chime in?
It seems like I'm just going to try to take one call, just one call. Caller 1988.
Good evening.
Good evening. Caller, are you there? Okay. Never mind. That caller... obviously wasn't listening. All right, go ahead.
They were obviously laughing at the discussion amongst themselves. What?
They're in the background like, dude, laughing about it.
All right, well, thanks, guys. This is that was a great series of love to hates. And
I know.
We are going to come back with
you
our
guys
next
made me laugh. It's like I needed it.
I know.
Yeah, and Milk is not feeling well this week, guys. So
again.
Wish her love. Send some well wishes
in the chat room. So we're going to keep it moving to our next segment. We'll be back in just a flash. But before that, I'm going to tell you what to expect. Coming up, you'll find out which new TV show follows the lives of talented high school artists in their pursuit of stardom. You'll find that out and much more when we come back on Nude Radio. See you guys in a flash.
On a dark street, on a cold night, pizza's cooking in a storefront oven. On the corner, a boy is waiting. The moonlight feels cold and desperate. Burning it.
Hey guys, we're back here on Nude Radio. Thank you so much for sticking with us. The song by The Bouncing Souls. Here at Nude Radio, we'd like to give a chance to our new and upcoming bands and artists to get spotlighted here on Nude Radio every week. So if you are an up-and-coming independent artist or band, submit your song to be played on the air, send it on down to radio@nudemagazine.com. That's radio@newdmagazine.com. So we're going to keep it moving with our arts and entertainment picks of the week. We'd like to reintroduce our brand new rating system for all of you who don't know it yet. We, on Nude Radio, in honor of the two cities where we live and work and are from, we use a rating system of a very special rating system that does not include thumbs up or down or stars or any of the such, but New York's and Miami's.
New York's and Miami's.
That's right. We give everything 4 points. If we rate something using New York's, it means it's contemplative and artistically avant-garde. If you rate something using Miami's, it has high entertainment value and is warm to the senses. If we rate it using both New York's and Miami's, this means it has a mix of both elements. So, KP, take it away. What's your art and entertainment pick of the week?
My pick this week was Seventh Day Slumber, the Christian rock group. This is my first time doing a Christian rock group, by the way. Their new album that was released actually last week.
Well, you did the Frey before.
What?
You did the Frey before, but Frey is very mainstream.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. I did do the
They're
Frey.
They're Christian?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Ooh.
Yeah.
So their new album that came out last week is called Take Everything. It's off their BEC recording label. I would say, if you guys haven't heard of them before, they are very, very a wonderful group. It's sort of like alt metal rock, sort of like Daughtry or Three Doors Down or Nickelback, you know, the Christian version. I actually like that kind of music. It's pretty nice. this album is not like their other albums. They actually made they seem commercially polished, but it's actually a collection of worship songs, a bunch of worship remakes with some nice guitar work in there. How Great Is Our Lord, Everlasting God, you know, Mighty to Save. Some really, really nice worship songs out there. They've been out since 2004, so if you guys haven't listened to them yet, please pick that up. Again, the group is Seventh Day Slumber, and the album is Take Everything, and I would love to give this 3 New Yorks.
Nice. I love it. I'm definitely going to check them out. All right, cool. So my art and entertainment pick of the week. So you were all sad when America's Best Dance Crew had its season finale a few weeks ago. We talked about it on MTV. Well, this past Thursday, MTV launched A Poor Excuse for ABDC's replacement. The teen reality show taking the stage. Yes, I said Poor Excuse. It's fame for the new millennium, but not all that of a cult favorite for me, because it's kind of lame. I don't know. The show follows 5 students at Cincinnati School for Creative and Performing Arts in their pursuit of careers in dance, acting, singing, so on and so forth. But get this, one of the executive producers is Nick Lachey. Actually, he was the one who pitched and launched
it. That's why it's so bad.
That's because it's his ex-husband.
He is lame.
Sorry. Yeah,
98 degrees.
But he is one of the school's alumni, and so he chose this as a way to highlight the school that gave him his start in the music industry, and in addition, shine some light on some of the fabulous young artists that they have there. And I'm sure that there are many. But if I weren't a big arts aficionado and educator, I wouldn't care to watch this show, but I believe so strongly in fine arts and performing arts high schools. I think they really work as models, learning models, but that's the reason why I'm watching, for the most part. It's super staged. It's really staged. It's I mean, I don't even understand how they could stage this much, and it looks very unorganic. But, hey, if you're not doing
why do you guys waste your time on these shows?
Well,
these shows?
I told you why I'm watching it. But,
these shows
I believe
are
in
garbage.
I'm not in that. You guys, are you? Am I KP?
I don't know.
I'm like,
just,
you're definitely
you know,
you guys.
Like,
I could not imagine wasting an hour watching that. That's like an hour you are never going to get back.
I'm rating it. I'm rating it. I'm giving Taking the Stage 1.5 Miami.
See, you don't see. You're not that upset about it. You found some kind of enjoyment out of it. I thought you was going to say like nothing, zero,
maybe half
of something.
Because you get to see these cool young kids doing what they love, they're passionate about, which is the art. So they're dancing up a storm, they're singing. There's some entertainment value there, and I really enjoyed the young girl they have who's the aspiring songwriter. She has a beautiful voice.
Who's attached to her guitar and
she's
all sad and wants a record deal and
right. And the dancing is really cool. So for that reason, I gave it some points, but, you know, I told you the reason why I'm watching it. Anyway, you guys will get my full review on it on nudemagazine.com in a little bit. So no worries. I'll give you more information about it and what I think about it in its fullness. But Milka, what's your...
Before I give you my pick, I just want to tell KP that he's not off the hook about that comment. You guys, because I still don't know who we were talking about, okay? just know that, Katie. All right, so my pick this week is Tough Love on VH1. It is produced by the beloved actress Drew Barrymore and her production company, and it follows a series of women who they all have some kind of issues. One is a gold digger. The other is, they call it, quote-unquote, ball buster. Hilarious. And all these, I guess, personality dysfunction. And the matchmaker host, Steve Ward, quite handsome fellow, although he's a little, like, he's really well put together. So I don't know if he's doing it for the other team, but he's really good looking. I digress. Okay.
Wow.
So, I digress. But Steve is really just, he's exuding a lot of wonderful, positive energy, and he's really teaching these women a lot of wonderful advice, things that these women should know, their parents should have taught them. And if you are down and out on the, you know, romance department and you think, you know, you have one of those common fallacies that prevents you from finding Mr. Right, you might find something of, you know, of worth in the show. It was entertaining. I laughed. And if nothing else, Steve Ward is perfect eye candy. So I gave him a 2 New York and 2 Miami. I might be biased, but hey.
Two New Yorks and 2 Miami?
And yes.
Wow.
It is equally entertaining as it is informative. I mean, he really knows his stuff. And at least for the first show, I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to watch it again, so.
Oh, good job. Wow. Okay, yeah. So maybe I might check it out. Yeah, right. Anyway.
Oh, wow. The book you read, he's not that into you. It's just like
that. Oh, he did? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like it's a less psychotic version of Millionaire Match.
Have
you seen that show? Like, that show's pretty grotesque. But this is more realistic, down to earth. Like, real people. Don't knock it yet. Try it.
I probably
don't listen to
TikTok. Coming from
people,
you.
Okay.
All right. So that'll do it for our entertainment picks. When we come back, we'll feature an interview with Chanel Gabriel, HBO Deaf Poet and Vocalist. But you don't know which famous hip-hop culture magazine founded this famous Video Vixen Award. Yeah, they're the ones to blame. You'll hear that and more when we come back on Dude Radio. Stay tuned, guys.
One mic, one stage at a time. With my lips to your mind, I create things. I'm gonna start something, spark something, ignite a flame. Be the cause of change. Write the world back in place. One mic, one stage at a time. With my lips to your mind, I create things. My feet move.
paper like falling leaves on its own path, fighting the world breeze in my craft. Allowed me to illustrate on mental blackboards my way of thinking. I spit life to give words new meaning, and the Trinity right now is having a meeting to decipher my next piece, with archangels purging my lips with hot coals so I can see purity eyes, reek of a sweet smell of flavor. I got that around the way girl flavor. Too busy spitting to be bougie, too busy spitting to be much of a lady, cause when I'm spitting they call me virtuosa, cause I flow classically, it flows naturally. I'm like a liquor license, without me there'd be no bars, and my stellar lines are picked from constellations of Venus and stars. I card folks to read my notebook cause they say my words are mature for my age. My old soul writes in Sanskrit, verses of mana etched on walls and undiscovered caves. Page after page on papyrus, I created a tape of devices. Divine inspiration inspired me to write this, so when I shoot these words, my targets, I never miss. Convinced my lips taste like a mix of lead and ink, I think I'm poison. And you can trust this big button to smile, because I'm bringing the noise in the time.
Hey guys, you've been listening to Start Something by Chanel Gabriel, the fabulous Chanel Gabriel. We are so excited to have her on the show with us today. Milka Dennis will be talking with her, and you'll be able to ask your questions in just a moment. Milka, take it away.
Thank you so much, Tiff. Guys, we have a wonderful guest for you and a wonderful conversation in store for you. Let's just start here. There are only three rules in this game. Keep your nappy hair done, do your sit-ups, and whenever you lay your back, make sure your paper is stacked. These are the words of Simone and Trina Diamond Princess from the intro book, Pimps Up, Hold Down. I can't even read this with a straight face. It is absolutely absurd. Today, of course, the topic of conversation is women's self-esteem and the impact of the industry, entertainment industry, and sort of our responsibility in keeping these people grounded and also educating ourselves on what's going on. Of course, in 2004, VOD Magazine founded the Video Vixen Award, now awarding women to drop it down like it's hot. So to discuss these issues and more, we invited Chanel Gabriel on the show to help us to breach this topic. So, Chanel, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, hello.
Can I rave about you a little bit more, Chanel? Can I let them know that you can I let them know that you opened the sixth season premiere of HBO Death Poetry Jam, as well as you are a wonderful performer on the national televised promo for the 2007 NFL Draft, and were a member of the 2006 New Rican Poet Cafe National Slam Team. You are that girl. So welcome to the show, Quest.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm a little raspy today, a little hoarse today, hanging out with my sister. But glad to be here.
We're extremely thrilled that you're here, and you are in same company, because I'm feeling pretty crappy today, but this interview got me out of bed. This show got me out of bed today, so I'm still speaking to you. And so let's get to the topic, but before, just to contextualize this and basically where you're coming from, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How old are you? You don't have to be exact. We know how, you know, we are about our age. And how did you find poetry, or how did poetry find you?
Well, once again, my name is Chanel Gabriel. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I was born in East Flatbush, which is pretty much like the Little West Indies. I was born to Trinidadian parents, so it's very much in my blood, kind of the old-fashioned Caribbean lifestyle. I got into poetry, I'd say honestly, as far as performance poetry and sharing with other people, maybe back in 2005. I discovered the poetry scene. I'd written all this time before. Prior to that, I was just a singer. That's all I knew. 10 years ago, five years ago, you could not tell me that this is what I'd be doing for a living. I had no clue.
Isn't it amazing that's how life works, huh?
Yeah, it's just, when you're meant for something, it just all falls into place. And that's very much what happened with me. I just kind of fell into the scene. A friend of mine, Jamie, also known as Rip, he started open mic, and from there I got to see a lot of people doing what I'm doing now in their own way, and it was like, wow, you know, my voice is just, you know, I think my voice is something that people would want to hear, you know, my story, my perspective, and then I just fell into it and kept doing it and kept setting goals for myself, and one by one I kept reaching those goals, so was able to do that poetry, was able to do a couple other spots, dabbled in acting. Actually, I was also featured in Q-Tip's video that just came out for Man, Woman, Boogie. Great song. I love that song so much. Just everything just kept going, you know, and falling into place, you know, divinely. Yeah. So, and here
you're
I am.
Definitely doing your thing, yeah. And, yeah, you guys, you can go on MySpace. This girl is all over the place. Now, there's one of your pieces I want to talk about, firstly, is your message to my girls. It's titled A Message to My Girl.
Yeah.
And I've asked you to perform it, so you'll be performing it for us in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about that piece and how did it come about? What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, I remember riding. I'm an avid train rider. A lot of my inspiration comes while I'm on the train. And I was riding the 2 train. And some high school kids came on the train, and I'm not one of the people that look down on them. You know, when high schoolers get on the train, they're usually very loud, very excited,
yeah.
They're free. I'm not one of the people that look down on them for that. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh. Because we all did that. We all went through that when you were in high school. You know, you were allowed to. Okay. But what shocked me was the stories that they were telling so loud and avidly. And not necessarily the stories that they were telling so much, but the fact that they were so young, talking about, you know, different aspects of sex, different aspects of relationships, different things like that, and it bugged me out because I have 3 nieces, and I always watch them, and I watch them as they're growing, and one is 16 now, and I have to, you know, I have to really wonder, like, you know, nowadays, what influences are around them? Are they being told the things that I was told when I was growing up by my mom, you know, certain things to value, and you know, where are we losing it? Because, you know, kids are not going to listen to you right away, but there's always those jewels that come back and that will always resound in your head as
right.
You're getting older. You know, and I just had to wonder, are they hearing these messages, or are these messages being drowned out by everything else in the media, by all the other influences going on in their lives? And that's where this piece came from.
You know, I always say you could always turn on VH1 late on Sunday evenings and get a pretty good perspective on at least a segment of women in this country. Now, I wonder, what is your perspective on the current state of women's self-esteem in this country? And not to put on the story, but also last week, Tiffany brought up the interesting point that, you know, with all these people getting laid off, men are getting laid off, and these women are picking up 2 jobs. And so it really begs the question, like, what is going on with women's self-esteem?
I mean, it's kind of something that's been going on for quite some time. You know, a lot of times throughout history, a woman was defined by who she was married to. Her status depended upon a man. And only thing I think has changed a little bit is just the level of the definition of what a man is. And I think that back then it was, you know, yeah, the woman was home, the man was the provider, and if he didn't provide, what was his purpose? But now it seems like we have it so flipped. And while I understand, I'm not saying that every man, you know, has to bring in a certain amount of money to be a real man or anything like that, but I have to ask the question, how much drive do a lot of men have nowadays? And women do, but I say for men because we're talking about, you know, that level aspect of it, whereby there are a lot of women who are doing well. We're going to college more. We're going to med school more. We're doing these things, and you don't see a presence of black males or minority males in these fields. And women
are... But don't you think that talks more about our expectations, too? I mean, because seriously...
I mean,
what is it that we expect, or we feel like we're worth?
Well, we're just at this point in time because of whatever, you know, series that everyone has about why, you know, different things. There's more men than women. I mean, there's more women than men in the world, so there's a shortage of men, and then all men are either gay or in jail. It's like you should just be happy you have one, and
exactly,
no matter what kind of
exactly.
man you have, And, you know, that either way, you know, you are still, if there's still, your self-worth is dependent upon somebody else. That's one thing that the media, in general, and you mentioned that before, as far as talking about how I feel about the media in our society, your worth is never defined by who you are. It's defined by what everybody else thinks of you or what you have. As according to media, mainstream media, if you don't have the right clothes, you have the right gear, you don't have the right man, you don't have a man on your side, you're nothing. I mean, it's interesting. I graduated school, and I remember a friend of the family saying, okay, now it's time for you to get your husband. And I'm like, I don't even have a pop.
Yeah, that was your graduation present.
That was my graduation present. You know, first it was, you better go and get your doctorate because I have to make sure I'm overachieving as well. But in the same breath, no matter what, you're as a woman, you can accomplish. Yeah. And you can be president, but you're still going to hear, where's your, oh, you don't have a husband, girl. You,
I was told
you
the
lacking.
Same thing. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. No matter
crazy.
What, you know.
We have to take a short break, okay? So we definitely got to keep this conversation going. And before the break, you mind letting us hear a little bit of something?
Oh, you mind? Yes. Oh, definitely a message to my girls. I love to share that piece with you all. So this is kind of, it starts off with some different things that my mom used to tell me growing up, and it goes like this. Keep your heads up and your skirts down. Girls, it'll be seen, not heard, so I better not hear a sound. Close your legs, cross your ankles, shut your mouth when you chew. Do as I say and not as I do, and you will bloom into a woman. My mother implanted these seeds to assist me in blooming into a lady. But evidently, these same seeds have not been planted into today's soil. Like water mixing with oil, words diffusing to blend into young minds. Signs of last days and times where young men shall be lovers of themselves and young women, lovers of everything but themselves. Whether it be material wealth or baby fat belts. Whether it be clubbing and getting her groove on or putting some Prada shoes on. In no other name but the mighty name of fashion. Quick checks, BBT cards given in ration. The females who spend their pay only on the latest fashion update. They strive to gain the whole world, yet lose their young souls because they never learned how cold that winter was, how it pays to be more careful. And we've all heard those tales that should have made them more fearful. Alas, I see it starts from their youth, uncouth and tame, loose in the world. And I'm talking about some of these little, Lord Jesus, some of these little girls, I want to call them young ladies, but nowadays I have to wonder if self-love stops when training bras come, or class and self-esteem leave when they begin to bleed, slowly leaking their innocence, they embodied, losing the love that they had in themselves. Don't y'all know too much of VET is bad for your health? Constantly watching pornograph portrayals again, on and popping, with former models now copping vibes, video vixen award. Imagine getting an award for being a video whore. But that's something you want to be. Well, little kids in teen parties acting like little Kim trainees. Realize the only difference between a dub and a lap dance is you do all the work, but sister, it's for free. Know every single song on MTV, but can't tell me the equivalent to 3x3. Can't me read more than a Word Up magazine. Wonder why our kids going to love us on the SATs 10 p.m. on a school night and they're running the streets. May as well be saying, oh, pick me. Pimp me, please, because all I see is young girls. And grown men's faces, equivocating love with attention in their mind. Love equals physical affection. And this is an infection that's spreading faster than any disease. The way y'all preteens love their chastity with ease. And Satan doesn't go blow for blow. He just goes straight for the throat. And he knows that our budding generation is our only hope. So while we promote premature growth and pro-choice pregnancies, possibly the prelude to premeditated aborted leaders with lasting legacies, we may simply end the spirit of us and our tomorrow. May never be. So come together, my sisters and brothers. Know that you ought to be your daughter's first lovers. Teach them to forget the masses, to value their classes of how big their is, to value self-respect over obtaining temporal objects, and let no man take their crown. Remind them to keep their heads up and their skirts down.
Wow.
Oh, AP, take us out. There's nothing you can say after that. Take us out.
joy has been stolen. Pour cement on my heart, the stone seals harder and chills faster than plaster. And this is a Christian race, the only race where the people behind you always seem to be running faster. I made dysfunction my ruler and procrastination my master. The road that seemeth right unto me might have ultimately led to my disaster. My biggest flaw was that I wouldn't admit I had problems to be solved. But I've resolved that I won't walk in the same steered path I've circled in every other day. And I won't wait to live the life that I prayed for. And I won't reserve my praise only for Sabbath days. Replace memories of years sown in tears with promises of life in the forever after with my master. And I have hope, and I don't need a pastor or pope to draw close to the cross, cause God is embossed on my DNA. Don't confuse this with blasphemy, but God is a part of me, the part of me that I tap into when I pray. And God always listens to his children. He cries the tears I cry. Noah's flood was a result of God wiping his eyes. So why do we tip him instead of giving our all? It's like having Jordan, Kobe, and McGrady on your team and never passing the ball. Like rain and a fresh perm, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense like believing in Jesus, but not believing in his second advent. We were meant for greater than God's table scraps. Wherever you lacked in your life, God said he'd fill in the gaps. So let go of the hurt, let go of the past. The spell was holding you back, people.
Hey guys, you were listening to Janelle Gabriel, and we just came back from an amazing interview and an amazing rendition of her piece, A Message to My Girls. We are so excited that she is here joining us today to discuss, like it's hot, female esteem in arts and entertainment. It's a very important topic. And we know there are tons of you on the phone lines who are just burning to ask Janelle some questions. Our phone lines, 646-727-1706. And I know we have a caller that's very excited to ask Janelle a question. Milka, did you have anything else
yes,
to
before
ask?
Before we opened up the lines, I have one question that I have to ask before the callers have their say.
Well, really quick, if you can ask a question, callers, press 1 on your phone lines now so we know that you're interested in asking Janelle a question. Go ahead, Milka.
Sure. I don't know if you've seen the Cat Williams bit, Janelle, when he says that how can women blame men for their self-esteem being poor?
I know what you're talking about. Oh, that was like maybe one of my favorite lines in that comedy show. I mean, Cat Williams is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. But he was like, you know, she told me I messed up her self-esteem. He said, chick, it's called self-esteem, meaning esteem for yourself. it's so funny, but it's so true. It's so interesting that a lot of times we really let people define how we look at ourselves and how we view ourselves, as I said before. And a lot of times, yes, of course, people contribute to that, and there are a lot of factors that that can affect your self-love. But at the end of the day, you're the one who has to look in the mirror and see what you see. Because even if someone told you you were the most beautiful woman in the world, i.e. Halle Berry, who suffered self-esteem issues, like, why? Like, you're fly. Like, are you serious? You know? And these are people that we look at and say that they're perfect, they're beautiful, and they're what we wish we were. And they have these issues. It's because you have to, at the end of the day, you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And even if you don't believe it, I'm telling you, this is from someone that actually went through it. Just a lot. Even if you think you're lying to yourself every day, look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm beautiful. And it sounds so cheesy, so Dr. Phil-ish, but it's so true. You know.
I'm telling you, you know what stayed with me, Chanel, when we spoke earlier last week, when you said that you never went through an ugly phase, like you never felt that you were ugly. And when you said that, it really stayed with me because I feel the same way. It was like I never felt that. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And then we'll let you guys chime in. It's just she got so much to say, y'all.
I mean, yeah, I'll talk forever. But, I mean, it's like, you know, we go through those things where we try to figure out exactly what we are and what we love about ourselves. And I could say that when I said that, as far as me looking in the mirror and telling myself that, it was just finding out what I loved about myself. And that's difficult. But I didn't really go through the whole, you know, preteen looking in the mirror and saying, I'm ugly, I'm picking at my nose, I'm picking at my face. I didn't do that. I very much asked you to look in the mirror and be like, why doesn't everyone else see what I see?
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But it's very much, you know, because it's like I remember looking at me like, I'm an attractive girl, you know, and I say that to myself knowing what I think is beautiful about me. And I'm like, something's wrong with everybody else. They must be after something that I don't want to give, you know, and that's very much where I came from as far as esteem growing up. I wish more people looked at that, at least. A little healthier than a lot of the other ways.
I love it. KP, we can go on. So let's just let somebody else come in with a question because this is good.
Sure thing. Okay. If you have a question, again, the guest number is 646-727-1706, and please press 1 on your handset, and I will call on you. Let's see. The last 4 digits, 8075. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm so excited. Wow. Thank you, guys. I have a couple of questions for Ms. Chanel. What are the challenges that you have had producing and disseminating your message? Because today you find that bad sells more than good, and people will be willing to promote that which is bad more than that which is good. And question number 2, would you take on a role that is degrading, and what would you consider to be degrading to you?
Okay.
That's a good question.
The first side, you know, the interesting thing about it is the people that determine what gets released in the media and in mainstream culture are not the people that actually consume it. The people that decide what mainstream is and what is cool and what is hip and what is in are not people that are actually in it. The teenagers are the ones who buy the music. When I did Deaf Poetry Jam, this is the funniest thing to me, when I featured on there, the most hits, I used to get at least 100 requests every Friday night when the show aired on my MySpace. It wasn't adults. It wasn't mature, educated, eloquent folk. It was 16-year-olds. It was high school students, preteens that called me. Still to this day will send me a message telling me I'm having problems with my boyfriend. What should I do? Or my mom is getting on my nerves. And it's such a funny thing that it seems like that's what everyone wants them to think that they like. If Jay-Z and Puff Daddy decide to wear their underwear on their head, it'll be in tomorrow. However, if they decide that this positive thing is something we're going to really push and we're going to really, really, really be back behind and really promote, that's what the kids will like. I never have a problem talking in front of high school students, elementary school students. And I think that's one of the myths that is promoted. Because while kids like to have fun, they do listen. They do like things. If it's good, it's good. As far as the second question, would I be willing to compromise? I mean, it's hard to say that because as a person, it's a battle between, you know, what people think is, I guess, not like me and what's, you know, it's like, okay, you get put in a box of neo-soul or put in a box of gospel, and if you happen to actually know how to do the stanky leg or know how to do these little silly dances, it's like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? I think that at the end of the day, I try to guide myself by, if I can't walk into church and vouch why I'm doing something, there's a problem. If I feel that a kid is going to come and walk away and say and be very much question what I'm doing and say, well, you know, if my nieces said they were going to do the same thing I'm doing, then there's a problem. And I can't vouch for it, there's a problem. That's how I really try to guidelines. Is my mom going to smack me when she sees this? You know.
That's a good barometer, yeah.
You know, and can I explain this to God, you know, at the end of the day? you know, I think that it is personal things because, I mean, while I'm working on my next album now and I'm thinking about a lot of different ideas for it, I like a lot of different styles of music, and I want to experiment with that. I like a little bit of pop. I'm not too into the really ignorant stuff, but I can look at a creator's song and say, wow, that's beautifully made. And the same people that sit there and say only gospel will sit there and cry when Luther Vandross passed away, you know. And
yeah.
I think that that's a, you know, that's pretty much where I'm going as far as my work and what I think is positive.
All right. Wow, we have another caller. Let's see if this caller is back. 3833, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Hi, Chanel, I have two questions as well. First, do you perform at various open mic nights at, you know, some of these lounges that are in the city where the content of the other spoken word artist or poet are raunchy?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you do that, do you find that the ladies that are in the mini, you know, the stiletto heels and the mini skirts that are there very sensual, do you find that everyone, when you do your pieces, are silent? Or do you find that you get the same response as those that are talking about, let me slide this between your legs and rub you down, baby?
It's funny. It's not funny. In the same, yeah, that's very much what you hear at certain open mics. But you understand, it's kind of like the church thing. You know, I go a lot of the venues I go to are very much receptive in that respect. It's not like quiet and then you clap at the end a lot of times. And it's interesting. You'll see people, and I'll be. An example is I did a show, and I love performing in places where I'm the total anomaly because it's interesting to see the dynamic when you have a bunch of rappers going up there like, oh, where my real ends at? You know, bust your guns. And then I go up there like, I'm going to start something. It's just, it's funny. But the same dudes, I'm sitting there saying, you know, I'd rather swallow instead of spit your vomit-labeled lyrics. And those same rappers are calling me, yo, that's so real. Let's work on a track together. And I'm like, I just talked about you. It's the same thing with women. There's a lot of women that be like, girl, that is so true. I'm trying to let my daughter hear that for real, you know. And it's like, I'm talking about you too. You know, I hope you listen to that and learn something from that too. It's so interesting. Everybody likes it. It's very comfortable. Some people might feel like, I can see some people say, you know, I understand where you're coming from. It might take it in retrospect. But a lot of times I do feel like sometimes it's like, oh, you talking about them girls. You ain't talking about me. Like, these little fast little girls, no, but what about the fast grown ones?
We have another caller here. Last four digits are 7264. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Good. Turn your radio down because we.
Yes, I just did. I just did. I just want to say hi to the last caller. Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Milka. This is Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Okay.
Hey.
But I just wanted to tell the artist. You know, I really enjoy what you're doing. Continue to do. I don't have any questions right now, but it's good anyway to, you know, just let you know that you're on the right path and there are people who are, you know, following the steps that you take, the words that you say. So just keep on trucking and keep on doing what you're doing because I know it's enriching the kingdom and other poets out here that admire what you do.
Oh, all thank right? you so much. That means so much for me.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just got a text message saying you are dope. Do you do collabos with rappers? This is a text message that I just got.
I do actually. I'm a little more selective. The funny thing is, and I always say this because I grew up singing, and I know that not God forbid, but Lord willing, I reach a certain level. I have this crazy feeling that everybody, all these tracks that I did that were very compromisable will come surfacing. For that reason, I've learned since, I'm very picky about who I work with in that respect because I have to make sure that I don't want to be the one positive track on the album. I'm not trying to do the DMX, somebody's knocking, and then every other song is like,
got you. Okay.
Like, I'm not going to be your saving grace on your album. Like, that's
man.
That's one big thing. and it's hard because I know so many people and I preach. Like I said, I listen to a lot of different music. I listen to contemporary hip-hop, and, you know, some of the lyrics are not the best, but I can admire different creative realms that people take things in. But it's hard because I'm like, I can't work with anybody. I remember a friend of mine was trying to get me to actually talk to dare I say it, Lil' Kim about me doing a track with her. And I was like,
no way.
And you talked about Lil' Kim trainees in your song?
No. I was like, I just called her out on my last album. How would that work? You know, and that's the difficult thing about it. But, and also, you know, everybody, the other still that might be talented, but I might not see myself working with them creatively. Like, I, you know, it just might not foster itself, you know, so it's very selective. I mean, definitely hit me up on myspace.com/ChanelG. Send me a message there or Facebook. I'm on Facebook as well. Definitely hit me up and, you know, I'll listen to your work and see if that's something we can do. And also, it's a little hard when, you know, there's a lot of times I do tracks that's very time consuming to do a track with somebody and they never ever put it out because they just be in the studio. You know, they just be on, I'm working on my mixtapes, son, you know, and they haven't put anything out for like 10 years. So I do try to work with people that are either, you know, doing what I'm doing or trying to do more and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Oh, Chanel,
come with your
A game. I'm sorry. I just got another message in on chat. Oh, well, my chat. Rock says, hello. He says she's been waiting. Stop playing. We need to change the world together.
I love him to death. That's my peoples. He actually was the one who worked on my last album, Ja Rock and Productions. Definitely check them out on MySpace, Reverb Nation, everything. That's one of the artists, one of his artists that he works with, Heeson. That's a rapper that I've worked with recently. We did a song called Open Your Eyes. Definitely check out Heeson Lee. She's dope.
Who's slowly becoming one of my favorite Christian artists. I can't stop listening to the different songs that she puts out. Sorry to cut you off, but I'm falling in love with Heeson. She's really, really
dope. Oh, she's so talented. She's such a sweetheart. She don't even know how talented she is. She's just dope. Gosh. But, yeah, no, definitely, like, Ja Rock and definitely, you know, a lot of the artists that come through that camp, he was very much a person that helped me out a lot. He's yelling at me. I know, I'm on my way back. I'm in Atlanta. I'm on my way back. I'm about to get in the studio on some serious tip. I'm trying to put this album out this fall this year. So, yeah, Rock, I'm definitely going to be there. I'm coming
back. Rock.
You hear that, Rock? I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the studio. But definitely, yeah, look out for that. I'm trying to get aboard a lot of different sounds for this next album. Do a little more singing on it. Because people are like, yo, Chanel, you tried to front on your singing on this last one. I'm like, no, it was a poetry CD. This one is going to be a nice mix. So look forward to that.
That's hot. Chanel, thank you so much for being so good and answering all these questions. And we really appreciate you being here. Now, we have a special treat for our listeners. So Chanel agreed to stay on for our Common Sense because we have a Common Sense of a Common Sense letter. You're not going to believe this letter, Chanel. So please stay tuned.
All right. Thanks so much to Chanel G and Milka for that nude look at Dropping It Like It's Hot. When we come back, we'll be talking Common Sense as well as Nude Overheard. But I just want to say something really quick to close this segment out. We talked about the sex trade industry last week, about it being a $28 billion industry overall in the world. And this, just like all the other topics we deal with on Nude Radio and NudeMagazine.com, can be very controversial. But there is a way to make a difference in the lives of young women here in this country and all over the world. Definitely check out some of the causes that we align with at NudeMagazine.com. NOMI Network specifically is an organization that we spoke with the founder of last week that leverages film, music, and fashion to eradicate sex slavery in the world. And Music Rocks Her Soul is another organization and campaign that we align with that combats misogyny and violence in popular music. And so we want to let Chanel know about it, you, our listeners, know about it, so you can take a stand on issues of misogyny and sex slavery and female objectification. Check out our website when we launch it. We're redesigning it and launching it in a week, nudemagazine.com. You'll get more information about these organizations and initiatives. All right. So, KP, we're going to take our break. Thank you to Chanel again. We appreciate it so much.
Dressed so fresh, 26s on a Cara. That's how we do it, and we do it like Sosa. Hall of Fame game ain't even slanging in coca. Down in the SO, FLA. We can lay up in the crib, cash still flipping daily. Turn up the music, lean back the car seat. Let the rim shine, tell them haters they can call me. Cause they cash faulty, cars repo, grids defaulting. Wanna see receipts for what it cost me. See if I'm flossing, why I'm talking and living so ballsy. You can define me as a kamikaze. Hey, pull up in the drop top, block hot, looking like the chop shop. Fakers hope I flop, but I'm top notch. I am not falling, we are not pausing. Haters keep crawling, we keep balling.
Pull up in the drop top, top notch, looking like the chop shop. Okay. Hey, so hot.
Now we on the second verse. Why you still hating, little homie? I'ma make it jerk. Boy, you know the name. Don't you know the game? We can make it rain. I'ma make it swing. Why the bass down low on your cheap track? Gonna lay the seat back. I'ma bring the heat back. You know we get up in them like venom and clean them out. Then we fill them with something better so they can't walk it out. I'm certified. You can see it in my eyes. If I pull up in the 10 or if I pull up in the 5.
Hey guys, we're back on Nude Radio. We're keeping it real. For you, our lovely listening audience, you were just listening to Ballin' by Breon Isaac. Here at Nude Radio, we feature lots of independent artists, as I said, and that's one of them that we are featuring and would like to place a call out to you again. If you are an indie artist, send us your stuff at radio@nudemagazine.com. So before we go into our overheard and common sense advice, I want to have KP give you a few announcements for this week.
Okay, let's see. This week, what do we have going on, Tiffany? Let's see. Church House Explosion Concert of the Year comes to OBCC. That's Open Bible Community Church, for those who do not know. Featuring Papa San, Coco T, and Bridget Blocher. I cannot pronounce her name. I do apologize if I just murdered it. And all the Gospel Reggae FM family. This is happening on Saturday, March 28th at 7 p.m. at Open Bible Community Church in North Miami, Florida. The Good News Comedy Tour 2009. Again, this is not the show to miss. Tiffany, do you hear me? This is
I heard you.
The
I heard
show
you.
To miss. Okay, Milka, did you hear me?
I actually did.
All right. It's Saturday, March 28th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Cavalier Regency in Roselle, New Jersey. If you need some more information on that, it's 908-451-8309. Again, 908-451-8309. Flavors Best at Flavor Night Fridays. This is the last show at Godfather's Palace before Flavor Night goes mobile. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Mobile.
Yeah. Okay. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Doors open at 9:30 p.m. Performing live will be Dre Marshall, Breon Isaacs, who you just heard, and Joe Justice, and more. Again, if you need more information, www.soulmovementcrew.com. And then the Music Rocks Your Soul Mix Show is at 2 p.m. on www.gospelsynergy.com, featuring Mr. E and Craig D of Soul Movement Crew.
Awesome. So, guys, we're going to move on to our feedback session. So my overheard for this week is from a guy who was standing in front of the Foot Locker in on the Fulton Mall, And he was singing a hip-hop song at first and then yelled out to a teen male passerby, yo, son, I got those deal on those new Air Maxes for real, son. Right here, son. But it was, the irony was that he was standing outside the Foot Locker where the teen male could have easily walked into the Foot Locker to get his Air Maxes. But instead, this guy, was selling them on the black market right in front of the Foot Locker. I just like, can you do that? Can you really do that?
The black market.
I mean, just like the audacity, though, to do it right in front of the Foot Locker.
I mean, that's Brooklyn. Come on.
Where Brooklyn at? So if you have your overheard conversations of the week, send it on down to us at radio@nudemagazine.com. We'd love to hear your strangest, outlandish, most ironic overheard conversations. Make sure they're truth and that they are strange and crazy. We'd love to hear them. So, Milka, Queen of Common Sense, we got a letter for you.
I know.
We have the help of Chanel Gabriel, which is awesome. All right, so your letter is as follows. Dear Milka, my friend Kizzy has been talking to a guy for about 8 months now. He is an Israelite, and she is a Christian. Kizzy found herself falling for him because of his desire for truth. He even told her he had put away his old habits of drug dealing, fornication, stealing, and lying, all in service to God. About 4 or 5 months into the relationship, he told her that he had begun talking to another girl who he knew from childhood. He claimed he felt bad about it and decided he would cut off the relationship with her because she wasn't walking in God's ways anyway. About 3 months later, Kizzy received a startling phone call from the girl from the guy's past. She proceeded to tell my friend how they were an item. They smoked weed together, even had sex one night, a night after Kizzy had just met up with the dude. Kizzy confronted her guy and demanded an explanation. All he could say was that he was so sorry, that he messed up and he was never going to do it again. Kizzy forgave him. A few weeks later, the same girl called Kizzy again to ask if they were still in communication. Come to find out, Kizzy's guy had also been pleading with this other woman for her forgiveness, sending her flowers, calling her off the hook, even sending his friends to go and speak with her.
Dun, dun, dun.
Once again, Kizzy confronted him, but this time to say, it's over. Crestfallen, he said that he had fallen in love with both Kizzy and the other girl and really wasn't sure what to do. That they were like two stars in the sky, that he didn't know who to choose. He didn't want to hurt any of them, so he lied to both of them. Kizzy really wants to believe that this was a mistake. She advised him to make it work with that other girl, but that she would still remain his friend. Should she remain friends if she believes he's truly sincere, or should she just cut him off completely, sincerely? Anonymous female, Brooklyn, New York.
Jesus. You understand, this is not the first time I've heard a story similar to that. It seems like the running thing, like, oh, goodness. I'm sorry.
Chanel, you know what I'm saying? I have a whole bunch of highlights. Let me check her up on a couple of things, okay? First of all, Kizzy, I truly believe Kizzy is you, because honestly, I would not write such a long letter for a friend, because you need to keep it real. This is you, okay? And you're going through this, and I feel bad. I feel bad because I've been through it, and there's a couple of things in your letter that really bothers me, and I think that you really need to keep it real with yourself. Now, you said, should you remain friends with him? Nowhere in this letter can I tell that this guy is your friend. So I don't really know where the friendship is to begin with. So let's start from the beginning. You said that you fall in love with him because of his desire for truth. Now, what I have noticed in my very short life is men can really talk because they know we listen and we are foolish enough to believe what they say. So he done painted a nice happy picture for you. Oh, he used to sell drugs, he used to do this, he used to do that. So you buy into the story, okay? So you're hooked. And then he continued to feed you lies, and then you still believe him. But this is the part. You find out that he's doing wrong. He's doing you wrong, right? He calls you and says he's sorry, and you forgave him. And then later on you say, or he made a mistake. Now, unless the definition of mistake changed in the recent weeks, a mistake is once, maybe twice, but he's sending her flowers. He's sleeping with this woman. He's pursuing this woman. This is not a mistake. This is, he is on a path to conquer two stars. And look at him with his neck lines, okay? Two stars in the sky. Girl, listen. There are more than two stars in the sky, and soon he might be seeing the other stars. And what you're going to do then when there's three stars in his skies and then five stars in his skies, and then you're stuck with something? Honey,
a celestial event.
Okay? Kizzy, seriously, in the spirit of the show and self-love, it's been 8 months. Cut your losses. I wouldn't want to be friends with somebody like that, to be completely honest, because if he believed those lies that he's telling you, then he's definitely not somebody you should be friends with. And I don't think this guy has anything to offer you. He took advantage of your naivety. Like, you're very naive. And he took advantage of that, and he knows that, and he knew that you would believe him, and he continued to lie to you. So please don't be naive anymore and just let him go. There are so much more out there for you. Just believe and let it go, honey. What do you think, Chanel?
I think what ends up happening, and it's a cycle. It's always just this big cycle, and it happens so often. When a lot of people, a lot of women think that for some reason this is normal or this is expected, this is, you know, things happen. Things like that don't just happen. You don't just accidentally, this love is not a cold that you happen to touch the doorknob and catch. Like, if he's spending time with this person, he was cheating on you before anything happened. If she's like, we were smoking weed together and hanging out, this is obviously not something that happened one day and can be forgiven in that respect. It's not an act of sin. It's kind of iniquity. You know, it's a consistent, common thing. And one thing that I tell people, I always say, if you let a man give you garbage once, you'll spend a lifetime taking out trash. You let him get away with this now. What do you think is going to happen later? What kind of pattern are you setting? He knows that, like, if you know, in general, he can get away with doing whatever, and you're still going to stay there. You're still going to be his friend. You're still going to be his open door. You're trying to move on to somebody that might be the person that God has planned for you, but you can't move on because you still got this old baggage that's sticking around talking about he's your friend.
Your friend.
You know?
No friend at all.
You know, you can't move on with that. With that, and while I'm saying not on, I say be his friend on the sense of, God forbid, you know, anything happens as a Christian, as a natural person, as a Christian, you know, you still have to be able to look out for your fellow man. But let it be it. Be as, you know, as wise as serpent, as gentle as dove. You know where you stand with this person. You know what not to expect from this person. I mean, I want to think that it's her friend and it's not her. I mean, I can say that. I can tell my, I have a good friend of mine who's in the same situation, was in exactly the same situation. And I can tell you that story back in front. And I'm very passionate about it because it's a friend of mine. You know, you don't want to see your friend in that situation. Tell her, you know, if you need to coax her, tell her to call you every time she thinks you want to call him. You know, you got to make sure you're there for her. It's hard. It's very hard to cut people out of your lives that you've gotten used to being there.
But seriously, Chanel, if it was your friend, don't you think that you would have been able to find counsel for that person?
I think you would.
When you are not the one experiencing the situation, I mean, because I'm outside of it, I can see. But having gone through some really crappy relationships, like when you're in it, you really don't see. And the way she wrote it, I'm thinking from somebody looking on the outside, she could have called it on all his BS. She could say to her friend, listen, this don't sound right, this doesn't sound right.
And coming from a person that watched, I'm telling you, my friend is still with the guy. like I'm watching it, and that's the only reason why I can say that, and I can understand where empathize with her in that respect. You can say, and I've told her, like, my friend was with the guy since high school, and we're adults. you know, and it's the same situation. You can sit here and you can, they can sit there and admit that. Like, I've had my friend call me up crying, like, he's trifling, and I know I don't need to be with him, but she's still with him. And no matter how much you can speak to somebody, if in their heart they don't want to let go, they're not gonna. I mean, maybe she figured if she gets some exterior advice, maybe somebody else might have some new perspective that she hasn't done already. You know, I'd like to think that she said something to her friend already. You know, but, you know, all I can say is prayer, and not just when she's finally distraught about fed up. Prayer from now, you know, explaining to her, you know, always being supportive to her in her decision-making, however very much voice your opinions. Like, you know, this is not good for you. Because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If she don't want to leave, dude, she want to sit there and try to talk about she his friend, and he calling her at 3 a.m. in the morning. She's talking about come over. That's her business. I'm very much, I cut my loss. I cut things off. If I see that in myself, I can't just be a somebody's friend and I know that it's not going to go the way I want it to be. I have to pull myself away from that person. Not call. Not call. No. Not try to play myself and say I'm going to hang out. No, you got to cut it.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Exactly. And they know. And they know when you're playing that game because you know you're lying to yourself. And he knows it. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to let her believe that she's just going to be friends. And there's, you're right on the point with that. And our time is running out, so I just want to tell you guys, if you guys really enjoyed this segment, send me your letters. If you just want to hear some advice, my opinion, whatever, write to me, advice@nuderadio.com. Again, that is advice@nuderadio.com.
No, it's advice@nudemagazine.com.
It's real nice to give people, like, you know, wrong information very efficiently.
Oh.
Do that again for me, please.
I love that. Advice@newdmagazine.com. Advice@newdmagazine.com.
Thank you so much, Chanel.
Thank you for having me.
In the chat room, you guys have been chatting up a storm. We appreciate it. People are really excited about you, Chanel, from the chat room. We can see we've got a number of comments. So thank you for being
Thank you so much. And to everybody out there, make sure you check me out on Facebook, MySpace, Reverb Nation, Chanel G, S-H-A-N-E-L-L-E-G. I'm on Twitter. I'm addicted to Twitter. Oh, my gosh. Follow me on Twitter.
I heard that you were addicted, and that was part of the reason why I feel like we should get on Twitter, because Chanel's on Twitter. So I'm like,
it takes a while to get into it, but once you're into it, you're like, I'm walking down the street. You're just updating for no reason. Like, I am looking on TV, and I'm just really, and something's always happening in the world, so, but definitely, yeah, I'm on Twitter, Chanel G. So thank you so much for having me. Thank you for caring and allowing me to, it's always great when people want you to talk, you know.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place. Next week, we interview Perth Phillip, an acclaimed New York City musician. Where we're talking about musicians. Are they playboys? Pun intended. You don't want to miss it. We will leave you with Yankee B, Fire. I've been Tiffany Knowles, and
this is
my other host.
I'm Kareth Powell, KP.
I'm Milka. See you next time. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
Bye.
No party like Holy Ghost party, cause the Holy Ghost party don't dee 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 those
down. No party like Holy Ghost party, cause the Holy Ghost party don't
dee 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 those down. On the fire touching on the city, no fi nami nami, no fi licky licky, no fi sinny sinny, no fi lying, no fi peeping, no fi chill. To Sin City, Blink City, Pin City, the man we selling sex in the city. Woman a selling body like shrimps in the city. Man a buy woman like drinks in the city. To Crip City, Blood City, Thug City, Two Slug
straight to your mom city. You know them blood again flooding at the city. You want the granny get plugged in at the city. So I'm not sure my pity the bag of all that Mississippi. Sippy, sippy to the cooks and the criminal committee.
It's raw, it's uninhibited, and yes, it's nude. Nude Radio, the live talk show for the urban 20-something. Join us every Sunday at 3 p.m., where we're talking arts, film, trends, politics, music, and spirituality. blogtalkradio.com/NEWD. Talk radio has never been this naked.